Thank you. Let's just remain standing for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, again we approach thy throne of grace and mercy for this hour of meditation upon thy word, Lord. May your Spirit be with us, not only dwelling amongst us, but in us. That which brought us to the word is your Spirit. Now we pray, Lord, that your Spirit will teach us that same word. May we depart with assurance of faith, Lord, more than we've had before, concerning truth which has been given at this end hour. We just pray now and commend ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to bring a message I brought Brother Thompson's almost a month ago. It's a message that could go on and on and on. In fact, I'd actually like to take some time and write about a 100-page book on it. The message is the meaning of Thus Saith the Lord. There's a book came from Europe, only believe thus saith the Lord. I guess it's all right. But my ideas, perhaps and others, are a little bit different. And I want to bring what I believe thus saith the Lord means from what I understand it in the Scripture. And I'm going to read in Deuteronomy 18, chapter 20, verse 20 to 22. Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, for that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And that's a blunt statement that God made here to the people. And then he qualified it. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, and they certainly would say, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken, or the word which the Lord hath spoken, doesn't matter which. How are we going to know if it's God? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now Deuteronomy is, of course, the last book of Moses, the Pentateuch, and it explains much of what is contained in Leviticus and Exodus, perhaps especially, and also Numbers. So we will try to see from those other books what this portion of Scripture is all about. Now, these verses we have just read are about a prophet prophesying in the name of the Lord. In other words, he comes and he says, thus saith the Lord. He can also mention the name of the Lord. And this one prophesying in the name of the Lord has already been manifested to the people in Exodus chapter 4, 21 to 23, and Exodus 7 and 17. So we'll go back there and see exactly what Moses was talking about. That is the Spirit of God through Moses. And it says, 4:21 to 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou doest all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, this is what the prophet is to do. He is to prophesy in the name of the Lord a direct message from God as to what is going to transpire. And if the thing transpires, then that is the man that you are to fear and to listen to. And you notice he said here, Moses, you are to tell Pharaoh that if the children of Israel are not let go, every firstborn in the land will be slain. And of course that took place exactly as God said that his servant should tell them in his name, showing that he was that vindicated prophet. Now the 7th chapter and the 17th verse, again we read, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters, which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And of course, that is exactly what happened. So we see here that the prophet, who is to come in the name of the Lord, who is to be feared, is such a one who is given something in the realm of the predictive prophecy, which must come to pass. And when it does, then you will know that that is that prophet. Now, the people did not understand how it was done, So Moses explains it to them. That's what you saw transpiring in Exodus. So Moses explained it to them in Deuteronomy 18, which we just read. And he lets them know that there can and will be prophets like him, because he says that in the verses above. And of course, they are very special prophets. They are to be feared. Now, they have a very special ministry of prophecy. It is to give forth God's revelation of the hour, which you'll notice was being done. It is to bring the fear of God into the camp, because the prophet is to be feared. And of course, he's only feared because he's the mouthpiece of God. It's to bring make known the mind of God by bringing the word to them. And the test as to whether he is of God, as we have shown here, is his vindication. The test of this type of prophet is always vindication. His vindication, then, is his indication that he is such a prophet. Now, the Bible indicates that such prophets exist. Do they exist today? Do we have them? Well, the question comes up, well, it would have to be shown that he is vindicated, which would be his indication, because that's what Deuteronomy says. The vindication is his indication. Now, his vindication positions him before the people so that he is recognized as that one. Now, there is, of course, another kind of a prophet that is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, he's a prophet, but he's a different kind of prophet. And we'll read about him in verses 1 to 5. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now you must understand here that before such a prophet could arise in the land, the other prophet would have to have been there first. Otherwise, how would you know whether you're away from God or not? See, the other prophet had to have been there first, thoroughly indicated by vindication that he was that one having brought the word. Now this other fellow comes along afterward, and he has a dream or a vision, and he has a prophecy that comes to pass, but he says contrary to what has been revealed already, which is God revealed by his word. Now it says, God is going to do this to prove you. Now I know this might come as a surprise, but the point is this, God does these things. It's just like the book says back there in 2 Thessalonians, that the Lord himself will bring strong delusion, that people will believe the lie. And this is the very same thing you see here, that God is going to let people arise after a vindicated minister comes on the scene, a vindicated prophet. And this man here, of course, will have visions and dreams, and certain things he will say that will come to pass, and they certainly will, and then he draws people away from the truth. Now it says, God is proving you to see whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Now I know that love has been put in the realm or the category of emotions, but this has nothing to do with emotions. This has to do with your mental perception, where the mind is the womb of the spirit. See? You just got to take it where the word puts it. Now God says, I'm going to try your love. What love? Whether you love what he did and you stand with what he said proves your love. Like Brother Brennan said, are you ashamed of him? It proves whether you got a shame in your life or whether your life is above board the way it should be in this hour of vindication. Now he said, God's going to prove you that you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Now that's where the love of God really is, a genuine respect for what God has manifested and brought forth, and you say, this is it, I adhere to it, and I will obey it to the best of my ability, and so on, counting yourself a part of it. Now, Jeremiah 27:12 to Jeremiah 28:17 will give us a perfect picture of the true prophets who claim to have thus saith the Lord. Now, this is especially interesting, because it brings out Deuteronomy 13 and brings out Deuteronomy 18, of which they were well aware, and yet they did not listen. Okay, I'll get that 12th verse in just a second. Here it is. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people and live. Now this is what Jeremiah said, and it wasn't popular. Give in. Knuckle under. Bow down. Become servant. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not to the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that you might perish, yea, and the prophets that prophesy any. Now there you are, just what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy 18. I said, I'm going to do it. Now here's coming right to pass. If you think God doesn't keep his word, you've got another thought coming. I know people don't believe God keeps his word. He said, I will send delusion, they'll believe the lie. Now, they've got their own ideas. They're trucking with a different company than we are. I think they're trucking with Satan's truck and burned down the road and said, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're going to have what they want. Now, also I spake to the peace and all the peace and all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, here he is. Hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought unto Babylon, for they prophesy lie unto you. Hearken not to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. Now there's your test right there. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, these vessels are going to go to Babylon. The other fellow said, thus saith the Lord, these vessels will not go to Babylon. Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, you bow down, become servants and slaves. The other fellow said, thus saith the Lord, you don't need to do it. Now you just keep on going. For thus saith the Lord, concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, identifying himself, see, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there they shall be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord, and will bring them up and restore them to this place. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the house of the Lord's house, the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Now notice how identical to Brother Branham this is. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and ears the people. The prophets that have been before me before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and evil and death pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. There you are. Exactly what we're talking about. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus said the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations in the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, it's going to be rougher still than you, because you've interfered and done this. See how judgment comes? You think God won't judge this generation after having a prophet, thus saith the Lord, and all these guys come behind him? Well, it is not, they haven't got a prayer. No, he's praying. People pray for America. You save your breath and your time. America's not going to get anywhere except destruction. Don't pray for what the prophet said, don't pray for. You know, people get so messed up and they think it's pitiful. God said, I have put a yoke of iron upon the necks of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Now, no doubt the fellow had a lot of things that came to pass, a lot of visions, everything else. But when he said, Thus saith the Lord, he died right there. Because that's reserved to one person alone. You've got to say, Thus saith the Lord, this will come to pass to prove that I am bringing you God's word. And it didn't come to pass. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because of hot rebellion against the Lord. What happened? So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now, I want us to be careful here to note that this peculiar prophet is like Moses in Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18, and is taken from Exodus 20, 18 to 22. And let's just go back and look at Deuteronomy again, the verses preceding it. Talking about the prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest, the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in mouth. He shall speak unto all that I command him. And it'll come to pass that whoever will not hear my hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. Now, this is taken from Exodus, chapter 20, 18 to 22, because you'll notice in Deuteronomy, God speaking to Moses said, This is what the people wanted. If it's good, very good, I'll give it to them. Now, 18 to 22, chapter 20. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They got scared. And they said unto Moses, Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak, lest we die. You go and tell God that. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. God bringing preventive medicine to keep them from getting into mischief. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Now this is what took place. And Israel could not stand it. And this is true. The average man cannot stand the presence of Almighty God. He has got to be so constituted from his birth that he can take it. And so when these great things were happening, God revealing himself and bringing his word as preventive medicine to the people so they wouldn't sin, they said, All right, Moses, we can't take it, but we notice that you can't. So here's what you do. You go up and stand before God for us. Whatever God says, then you come down and tell us, and that'll be just fine. And when Moses came to the people, he said, God is approved. He likes what you said, and that's exactly how it's going to be done from now on. There's going to be someone that's going to be able to hear from God to the people, but it won't be the people generally. So this kind of prophet hears the voice of God. As Brother Branham said, according to Deuteronomy 18, it takes a prophet like Moses to hear the voice of God, and you know we haven't had one of those since Paul until this time. And only at this time, or the very end time, before Jesus returns for the bride, do we have such a prophet. Not at any other time do we have such a prophet mentioned in the New Testament. You go to the chapter of Acts, the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts, and look at verse 19, the last part. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now it says right there a revival is going to spring from that part of anything visible to the eye. All right? What part is visible to the eye? We'll talk about that. But then it says when that part of God which is visible to the eye comes into preeminence, a revival shall spring from it. And even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must receive or retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Notice now, for Moses truly said unto the fathers. Now you'll notice right there that restoration can only come by a prophet like Moses, because he is linking the end time revival and restoration of God's word back to Moses, which is Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 through about verse 20. Now, shall raise up your brother like me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever he say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed utterly from amongst the people. Now this shows you that the very end time, just before destruction, there is going to be a prophet raised up in the same category of Deuteronomy 18. Now, it means positively then that we're going to have a prophet who will come with thus saith the Lord, and he will have to be properly indicated by vindication. Now, who is that prophet? Of course, we have the answer already. So Jesus himself gave it in Matthew 17:11. And Jesus truly answered and said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And the restoration is the restored word, not something else. People have an idea about this, and there again, because they have an idea contrary to God's word, they will be judged, they'll be destroyed. Now remember, God always sends these people in order to protect the righteous, to protect the true children. That's the idea. See the protection element in there. Now, and it says, ye all the prophets and Samuel, and those that follow after likewise foretold of these days. Now, then let us notice kindly as possible, if any man other than one who has thus saith the Lord, he's got to have it, if any other man other than a thus saith the Lord prophet says, he has heard the audible voice of God, he is telling an unscriptural thing. I mentioned that to you before. There are people that I know say they have heard the voice of God. I myself thought I did. It's entirely erroneous. There is nobody outside of a vindicated prophet like Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah or those who are in touch with God in this particular office can literally hear the voice of God. Now your auditory nerve might be excited. An angel may speak to you, but not God. I am sorry. There is only one way that God will ever use his audible voice, which is lip to ear or face to face with such a prophet as this. It's not that God can't deal with you. It's not that God cannot direct you. I'm not saying that. I am saying that no man outside of this kind of a prophet can hear the audible voice of God, period. Not question mark, period. Amen. Now, if you doubt it, be my guest. It's your tough luck. Now, the reason I talk this way is because there are people circulating around the land who say things like this. And I'm just getting you on your toes, because you're not my responsibility except when I'm teaching here, to get you on your toes to realize you stay with this word. See, now the prophet said we haven't had a prophet since Paul until this end time. There's only one kind of person can hear that voice of God. Now, in this our generation, we were visited by such a prophet. And that prophet, of course, is William Marion Branham, and his indication that this was the end time, or that he was the end time, Elijah, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, was proven by a manifested vindication. Now let's go back to Malachi 4, 5, and 6 for a moment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. All right, before God then can send judgment, he is going to send a man. What for? To keep us away from judgment. It's remedial. It's not exploratory or necessary some other type of ministry that this man would have to look around and just give a diagnosis. It's not that at all. It's a ministry that's guaranteed to keep away judgment. And he shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. I left out the first part because it's been fulfilled. It can't be fulfilled again. And you would actually take a pencil and go to your Bible and cross out all things fulfilled might do you some good. So that part's been fulfilled. The hearts of the fathers to the children has been fulfilled. Now it's the children's heart back to the fathers that this man's going to do. Lest I come and smite utterly the earth with a curse. The utter destruction is here, and it's in Acts the third chapter. And destruction cannot come. The utter smiting cannot come until Elijah's ministry of complete restoration has been fulfilled. what's it going to be fulfilled for? God giving the people a way out. And as soon as that way is given out, the instruction to get them ready, then the others can follow in the track to see who's going to get spun off into space. See, now that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, Brother Branham had thus said the Lord with unfailing results hundreds of times. His ministry of Acts 3 and 19, which was the great revival from the presence of the Lord, was identical to Jesus Christ in John 15 and 24. Now, you all know that verse. It says here, if I had not done among them the works which none other did, man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. There it is. What is visible to the eye? The mighty ministry that William Branham had was what attracted the people, got the attention. And nobody had that ministry. Nobody could say, I'll guarantee healing, bring me 24 of your worst cases. Bring me your worst case. Send challenge them. I'll take every strength getting under my control for the glory of God, and not one person hide. Not one person could stand and say, of the thousands of times, when did it ever fail? Not one time did discernment ever fail. Then the man hurled, thus saith the Lord. Then showing that he positively was that one who was going to bring the word of the living God for that hour. Because that's what it's all about. Then you see, according to Scripture, then the false things could start coming in, spinning them off into believing the lie. Why? Because he'd be outside the word of God. See? Now, and the purpose of this message that we're talking about this morning is to see what thus saith the Lord really means, to see some of them, because we won't take time for all. Now, it stands all alone as the one irrefutable voice of God, and nothing in any way can compete with it. Now, that's the first thing that I'm looking at as a blank statement that it means to me. It stands all alone as the one irrefutable voice of God, and nothing can compete with it. Now, that statement will be challenged by millions. It doesn't bother me in the least, because I know it's 100% correct with the Word of God. Because there's bound to be a challenge to it. And that challenge will be based upon ministries of power. Just like in the day of Jeremiah and Hananiah. But it stands all alone, and nothing can compete. It is exactly the Word to which neither can be added anything or anything taken away. It's exactly the Word of God to which you cannot add and you cannot take away. In other words, you've got to leave it just as it is. It's preaching, teaching, or explaining can only end up as saying what has already been said, or it is not God's Word as given by that prophet. No matter how it's produced in a pulpit or in a conversation, it must end up identical to what the prophet said. That's why he said, say only what I say. Didn't mean you couldn't paraphrase it. Just make sure your paraphrasing is right. Now let's consider these thoughts, because I have emphasized them very strongly. And why I do emphasize them strongly is because of what is taking place. Let's look at some of the things that are taking place today. First of all, there are too many in the bride are looking for a Mount Carmel showdown when Mount Zion is what is coming next. Now, unwittingly, but truly, they are competing with thus saith the Lord. Why? Because thus saith the Lord is that word that's vindicated. You need no further vindication, nor is there any as far as I know. See? Now, they are looking for a personal vindication which would bring us into leadership. Let's just go back to Deuteronomy 13 again, take a look at it, just make sure you know what we're talking about. See if we're on the right track of these things, you know. How are you supposed to look at them? If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams and gives thee a sign or wonder, the sign or wonder come to pass wherever he spoke, saying thee, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us not serve them. Why, right today you're getting miracles in William Branham's name. They tell me down there, and they're sending out books now in English so we can get all the goodies from Puerto Rico. But they pray in his name. They raise a dead cat, I think, in him. Well, I want to raise a dead cat more than I know. Just trying to copy the prophet with the fish. They'll go to any length, you know. People go to any length. You don't think because we believe a message and we're bride that we're not contaminated. The whole group, all together, whether this group would have it, I would never dare to say. I wouldn't believe it myself. believer, make believer and unbelievers, but I can certainly believe that for the whole group that's scattered worldwide. Now it says here, you got a sign or wonder. Let us serve another God, the new name being William Marion Branham. Now that's, Brother Branham said, if you baptize in my name, you make me an antichrist. Well, if simply baptized in William Branham's name made William Branham an antichrist, what would it do to the man that did the baptizing? He would be antichrist. So don't say these things can't happen, because they do happen, they are happening. He gives a sign or wonder. Now listen, I'm cutting down here because you're saying, Brother Vail, you're talking about over there in Puerto Rico, goody goody. I'm going to slip one in on you. I'm talking about America too, honey. It's right in America here. And I'm talking about other things going on too. We'll discuss a little later on. I want to see if you're right with the word, or you're right with somebody's feelings, or your emotions, or something like that. Well, you could drop your friend like a hot potato if you needed to, so-called. Not you're going to throw him out. But you're ready to stand with God's word. Or you say, well, I must go with that man because he means something to me. Well, I've got news to you. Nobody means anything to me. I'm meaning to myself either. But you know, here it says right here, he's going to give a sign or wonder. Let's go after other gods and so on. I said, don't hearken that the words of that prophet, that dreamer dreams. For the Lord your God proves you know whether you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul. You'll walk after the Lord and so on. Now, that's in the land. But you see, no one else can prove God. Nobody else. No, there's not one man living outside of this type of prophet that can prove that he is weak or prove that he's in the hand of Almighty God. For no one has seen God, but God is declared. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him, which is exegeted him, which is the Holy Ghost, reveals God perfectly by his word. That's why I took that kind of a prophet. And remember, as I showed you a couple Sundays ago, that the bride had the groom revealed by the prophecy. Now, too many are adding their own ideas or leaving off what they don't want. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, 1 to 3. Now hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgment I teach you for to do them, and ye may live, and go and possess the land which the Lord your God and Father has given you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, and I showed you that before. If you go back in the Hebrew, it has to positively refer to the female primary sex organ, which at the end time refers to scriptural pollution, which is creeds, dogmas, adding and taking. Is not staying with a defined, legitimate, vindicated word. And all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord God destroyed him. Brother Branham said, God never did forgive him. Now you can say what you want about the blood and the unforgivable sin, where it lies, but a vindicated prophet said God never did forgive him, nor did he. Nor did he. He always went back to Baal Peor. And that's just what you do when you go back and look at the Nicene Council. God never did forgive him, and never will. In the end time, you're going to drink the cup of iniquity, the wrath of the wine, of the fornication, of the harlot, which is the world system, see? Now, this is identical to Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse, well, we take 18 and 19. You all know those. I testify every man that hears the word of the prophecy of the book. If any man add these things, God will add the plagues written in the book. If any man take away the prophecy, name partaking in the book of life and out of the holy city and so on. He'd never even get in the white throne judgment. He couldn't make it. Now, Revelation 22 and 10. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. But Revelation 10 and 4. Seal up the things which the seventh son has done and write them not. So between Revelation 10 and 4 and Revelation 22 and 10, there's got to be an unsealing of the book. Now you know that'll take a prophet. You'd have to be vindicated. Because he cannot add or take one word. He would have to be soul one with the whole entire prophecy of the whole Bible. that he cannot add or take one word. Now, you know, there's only one person who can do that, and that's Jesus Christ himself. But he's going to give it to some man to bring it down, to bring it here on earth. Now, too often, in considering this message, vindicated, perfect, too often the preaching is not sermonizing on exactly what was said, but becomes an explanation of people's own idea. And you know, many people in the pew want it that way. That's why I'm preaching to you. Because it's already been said. And it'll grow, because every spirit must be manifested. Every seed's got to grow to its harvest. It's already been said. Brother Branham brought the word, he revealed it. But now he's gone. So therefore we need somebody to come between us and that word reveal it. And that might sound very good, except for one thing, they put my name in there with this other fellow, and I said, forget it. You say, well, you've been happy, put your name alone. No, I've been twice as unhappy. Because that denies the ministry of the Holy Ghost entirely. For Brother Branham said that Joshua at this end time was the Holy Spirit to lead us in. The Spirit giving us that word, which ordained ministers surely carry, is true. But those ministers don't come between the people and God. There's only one person can come even close to it, and that's the pastor, because he's ordained to carry and to see the people through. But you know, there's a lot of funny ideas about ministries. I don't know too much about teaching ministry. Brother Van did say they take the word and do something with it. There's a going on in the land today about apostles. The apostles set the church in order. Well, then you people aren't in order because the apostle wasn't here. Whose church the apostle going to set in order? What did Brother Van say an apostle was? He said it was a missionary, right? And he said a missionary came and went, right? Now before he came back, that set his church in order. But does he run around setting people's church in order? Now, if he's got his own fruit, yes. Now, just hold it right here. Let's get very personal. I'm the guy that came to this area, right, with this message. Number one, true. Brother Ray Wiley, Brother Dale, then Norman came in, then came Yeats and different ones, right? I'm going to ask you, what authority have I got here? None. I am not an apostle. I don't start anything. By the grace of God, I simply came and talked about the prophet, and the people went to hear him, and came back convinced as I was that this was it. Now you have a pastor. Where's our apostle?
Amen. Amen.
I want to know. Because I'm serious. Maybe you're not, but I am. I want to know where the authority is. It's in that word. Not somebody rising up. And he's got to be some special brand. I am no special brand. And there's no man living a special brand.
Amen.
When a man says, I've heard from God, and I'm the pastor, so I go to the pastor. You know that to me? That's Antichrist. I'm going to tell you plump and plain. That to me is not of God. If I stand before this sacred Bible, knowing there's a God in heaven to judge me, if I'm wrong, I'll answer what I'm saying today. I'll answer for it. You better not. But you see, people are looking for a Mount Carmel. When Mount Carmel was one prophet with 7,000 unknown elect hiding in the bushes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The showdown was with one man, not with the 7,000 elect. Nor is the 7,000 elect in the showdown. Brother Brad said the next showdown is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. He said many who claim they're going to be there won't make it, and many who think they're going to fail will make it. You and I can talk all we want, and affirm all we want, and stamp all we want, that I'm going to make it. And by faith, we believe we are going to make it. What if you don't? What have I done? It's in the election, not a showdown, my brother says. Now, I'm not saying that God won't do something in a bride. Oh, sure he will. You can't hear the adoption series. You can't see some of the things that Brother Branham said. But what you realize, there's an unknown quantity between here and the resurrection, and in the resurrection until the bride is caught away. But don't ask me what it is.
Amen.
I'm not trying to find out. You can if you want. But I know what's going around. And the idea is, you're going to have to come to me. We're going to start it. We're going to do it. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I've started, and I wish I hadn't. A lot of things I like you both start, I wish I hadn't. I hope you don't come around to find out. Because, listen, I'm bringing you right back to thus saith the Lord. Where is thus saith the Lord? No one now but that kind of prophet. Right?
Amen.
Now, where's it going to come from? Did the prophet lie to me on that tape? I'll bring the tape. I'll play one part of it. Because it's my private tape. We'll find out if you like. Because if you've got thus saith the Lord, you're going to hear that voice of God. It's going to take a prophet. Does the bride all become prophets? Or does the bride have the word and thereby have thus saith the Lord? Is that what it is? I turn to put my faith there. Not saying great things cannot happen, but as I look now, there's been so much talk, and the effort is counterproductive. Because thus saith the Lord's visit. Now let's go further. Thus saith the Lord makes the prophet exactly Hebrews 1 and 1. Now we showed you there, the message is irrevocable. Only one person's got it. Nobody else can have it. Now let's take a look at this prophet here, Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers, not by the prophets, but in the prophets. And most of our Greek students don't like to go too far, so they kind of hash the word to their own idea. The word is not by, it's in. God in the prophets, God incarnate. But how was he God incarnate according to Hebrews 1 and 1? God incarnate in a certain limited way. Not all the way. Now in all the prophets, all the word came forth. Truth. In a series of minor incarnations. Partial incarnation. But not a full legitimate. That was Christ alone. Okay, let's go back to Revelation. Chapter 1. 10 to 18. I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Notice, John heard the voice behind, then face to face. This age starts with the voice behind. Brother Branham brought it face to face. All right. The voice that I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last. What you see right in the book. And send of those seven churches. Verse 12. I turn to see the voice of things. It's conversational now. Face to face. Conversational. God speaking. John speaking. Brother Branham speaking. God speaking. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He sees the bride. In the midst of the bride, he sees one like the Son of Man. And he's risen glory. And his ability to come back and to judge the bride at the end time, which he does, and to take over his complete dominion of authority and judgment. And it says here, he held in his right hand, verse 16, were seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword. His countenance was like the sun shining in strength. When I saw him fell, his feet is dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, don't be afraid. I am he that liveth with dead. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the key of hell and death. Of course, the Catholics got one more. They got the kingdom. They got hell and the purgatory and the heaven. And they got a whole lot more. So they had everything they add, they're going to catch up with. That's right. Having added it, they'll get the place. See, there's nobody going to stop it. They say it. They seal their doom with their own mouth. Now, of course, we see this carried out now. Christ and the bride. I've showed you this many times. Revelation 2 and 1. Unto the messenger which is in the church in Ephesus, write these things. And verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. But remember, God is speaking only to one person. So therefore, God by word is in that person. What is that person to the others listening? He is the Holy Ghost which is God. For he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, right? But the congregation cannot hear. It's going to take a special person only. Hear God. So therefore, they hear God in a prophet, right? That's how it is. A prophet. Number 1 and number 7. Now, these 7 men, 2 of whom are prophets, are like Moses was, are also seen in Revelation 5, 5 to 7. There it is. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Open the book and loose the seventh seal. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Seven times the Spirit of God was sent forth. Seven times the Word of God was sent forth into all the earth. And that Word is Spirit. And came to the people, see, through a mouth that wasn't divine. For the prophet is not divine. The messenger is not divine. But for seven times the Word came to earth. The seven spirits that were sent forth from God are, as I showed you, as I read the verse to you, in the second chapter, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus. He said, these things, I'm telling you. Then it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Then that person is God incarnated to the people. He is a minor God, a demigod. And of course, that makes every child of God a demigod also. In his own particular order. Now, it is also here, it is, I've read Revelation 2, 1 and 7 and so on. It's also Revelation 1, 12 and 16. And I turned to see the voice in the face. And what was it? I saw the bride, and I saw the one like the Son of Man in the midst of the bride. And there he was, in his right hand, with the seven stars and the Word of God, and shining like the sun. What is it? It's a perfect picture of Christ completely revealed in seven church ages under seven distinct messages. Christ completely formed in a bride. In seven church ages, under seven messengers, seven times the Word of God coming forth. There he is in that bride, in all his perfection. The full Word of God in full power, which in my understanding means the full Word of God effective. Not that any word is not effective, but the Word is effective in certain periods. The Word for the feet was effective back in Paul's day. Getting up here to the chest was in Wesley's day, coming into Pentecost. But getting up here, the throat, up to where the head is, you positively have a headstone message which brings the head down. And the headstone message is that Word of God. A complete revelation. A complete identification. When all the mysteries are revealed and fulfilled, as it says in Acts, the third chapter. How can you divorce Acts 3 from Revelation 10 and verse 7? You can't do it. Why? Because they're both consummation verses. Seventh church age, before Jesus Christ comes, Elijah the prophet, coming and doing that very thing. So, what do we see exactly here? We see exactly Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse 9. Let's take a look at it here. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. There you are. Behold, I will engrave the engravings thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquities of that land in one day. And he said, I'll engrave the engraving. Remember, when Brother Branham looked, the stone didn't have one thing written on it. But he said, stay here and study. Why? Because the hand of God began to write. Every age has had the same thing. Starts with a clear sheet. You don't bring Judaism into Christianity, Judaism dies. The sacrifice was over. Then came the true Word of God by grace. And every age has had the same thing. The unwritten stone. The Word of God comes upon it. Up, 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 every layer, every successive layer coming in. And remember, at the end time, the light had never shone on this. Which shows that Paul was denied the revelation that Daniel had sealed up. To come forth only at the very end time. See? Now, let's just keep reading. The fourth chapter. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man waked out of sleep. And he said, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked and behold a candlestick all of gold and a bowl on the top of it. And his seven lamps are up and seven pipes and the seven lamps which are to the top. In other words, the same thing that John saw, the bride, the seven golden, the church, like one central lamp with seven arms going up and had one central bowl feeding it. But each time the oil rose, it was the same oil in seven lamps, right? Seven arms or spokes.
Seminary, what was it doing? Giving light, which was the eye of Almighty God to the people. Seven spirits, seven eyes, you see? Seven horns. Because there's where the power and authority of God lays. It's in the Word. Because God and that Word's the same thing. See? Now, and the two olive trees by it. One on the right side, the bowl on the other side. And so on now. Until it comes and says, down here, this is the word of the Lord. Unto Zerubbabel saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit to the Lord of hosts. And who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he'll bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. There's never been a greater manifestation of God's grace in the world than in the end time today. So what's it going to be? Bringing forth Christ at the end of the church ages comes by God himself in that church through the seven eyes, the seven horns, right down the line, those seven great church age messengers, God incarnate. Now listen, as the seven messengers were loosed by Jesus to bring seven messages, seven ages, so at the end time, under the seventh seal, seven angels, counterparts of the seven church age messengers, were loosed to bring down the full revelation of Christ the Word to an end time bride. Now, Brother Branham used interchangeably. I caught it this morning reading. It's in the seals again. Just reading for a while. I want to check up on the thing on. Let me see where it is. I looked, put in the Bible here. It's just possibly. I read this on page 566, but not sure. Where Brother Branham mentions the messengers. He used the word they. And then swings right back calling it the Holy Ghost. So those seven messengers, which were angelic in form, counterparts of each church age, standing up there before God, had the living flesh down here, and then at the end time, they all come down in one pyramid as the Holy Ghost revealed words. Seven angels came right down here.
Amen.
See, I hope you're catching this. To me, it's just absolutely clear as ABC. There's no problem here at all, Brother Branham, bringing out these deeper truths. The people miss on the incarnation, how God, behind human skin, like behind badger skin. Sure it was. Why? The pillar of fire in Moses. Moses in the pillar of fire. Moses veiled, coming out to the people, giving the word of God, becoming a man again. The same thing right here. That's why Paul, under inspiration, could be God with you, then turn right around and fight with Barnabas. Turn right around. Get that same spirit rise up in him and say, Peter, who's sinning? You or the people? Are you going to stand with the word of God? Or not? Peter the same way. Peter bringing forth that word. Then failing at times. Thus the prophet of the last age was God to the people as Paul was God to the first church age. 1 Corinthians 14 and 36. Get this tape back in Eastern Canada. It will be a deity cult for sure, according to those boys. Well, praise God. Now, what came the word of God out from you, or came it on you only? Even as Moses was in his day, Exodus 4, 14 to 16. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I'll be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. Now, he's not going to just be with Moses. He's going to be with each of the fellow's mouths. You watch. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. That every church age messenger was a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. Moses was God to Aaron, and Aaron was a mouth to God. Sure he was, because Moses was the real mouth of God, but he had to talk to Aaron. When he talked to Aaron, Aaron could deliver word by word. Now Aaron, remember, could not say anything other than Moses said. Now, later on, of course, he might begin to get exuberant and preach on it. That's fine. As long as he keeps saying what he said. But the minute he got off that, he was in trouble. Now, this is a somber note for all ministers to heed. You know, normally, when you preach, having had years of experience, you're just used to going to the Bible, and you preach anything at all, almost. Why not? Well, if the Word of God held you, I can get in here and I can say, well, bless my soul, tongues just got to be in evidence of the Holy Ghost, because here, 3 out of 5 times people spoke in tongues. You see, you agree, yes, and everybody says, amen. But the preacher agrees, the folk agrees, well, hallelujah, that don't make it right.
Right.
We've been preaching lies for so many years, going about preaching our own thoughts, that we don't realize that the Word of this hour, from the Bible, is what Brother Branham taught it. So therefore, you take what he said and you go here and preach. Until you can go there with what he brought, because there's a message in every age, you can't go here and know that you're in the divine flow of revelation. You can't do it. But he said, once you do see that message, that's all you'll see in the Word, thank God. That's exactly true. See, a lot of preachers have it hard. I don't blame them, understand the theory. Now let's go further. Thus saith the Lord is a tithe post. It is the tithe post of the cornerstone. Because everything belongs to the cornerstone. Even the capstone is nothing but the cornerstone gone up. The whole pyramid is cornerstone. In this respect, it's all one substance. The great pyramid is all one substance. Cut in different ways for different areas and shapes and sizes. And it's got a ceiling on it. I think it's a limestone ceiling they put on it. A facing. Like showing every one of us predestinated, brought into Christ, sealed in by the Holy Ghost, but all growing up into the head, where Christ can come down and take over, because he must be incarnated in his bride. He certainly is. The bride must bring him forth. Now, let's look at that cornerstone. Second Peter. First chapter. 15-21. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always remembered. For we have not fought according to devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's when his presence was there with us. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him, the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Wherein do you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, till the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. But this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It tells you right here that a man who wants to prophesy, to bring this word, can't do it. It's got to be God himself moving on the person, so that it's absolutely God himself speaking by human voice. It has nothing to do with the man's thought, nothing to do with his own mind or his own desires. It has got to come in such a way that he knows that this is God. And the people have got to know that prophet in such a way that they know it is of God. So you got a double vindication. And the man wouldn't dare say it, unless it was positively God, according to how God deals. And there you got it. You got Brother Branham perfectly. Then you got the people coming and following the vindicated prophet. Why would they do it? Only on the ground that it follows perfectly the Word of God. You see, you got a double. And when God does a thing twice, that finishes. Like Joseph's dream. See? Had that dream and Pharaoh's dream. You get a thing twice, God's going to do it. Now, we go to 1 Peter 2, 1-10. And of course there were false prophets, rose up, now there be false teachers, bringing in heresies, and many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of, through covetousness, with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and damnation slumbers not, till they make merchandise of people, that's the Roman Catholic Church, and anybody else who wants to gather people around it. Oh yeah. You'd be surprised. I'm not trying to make you have no confidence in a fivefold ministry, but let's face it, a pretty rough bunch of customers. I know I've been one for many, many years. I know every trade in the book, every little loophole, but I'm going to tell you flat, they're human beings. They can be corrupted in anything else. They can make mistakes. Because right here, it's going to be a mess, a lot of them. Now, but it says there, judgment now a long time lingers not, in damnation judgment slumbers not. In other words, this is the hour when these things are going to be made manifest, and it'll come. God's going to do something about it. Now, look what God's going to do.
If God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them in chains of darkness, reserved in judgment, spared not the old world, save Noah, the eighth person, preached righteousness. Preach righteousness. See, preach the revelation of the hour. That's the only one. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The ungodly world got a flood. The world of the godly got took up, right? Above the flood. Two worlds, godly world and ungodly world. And turn the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example of what's going to happen to those who live ungodly. Delivered just Lot. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, what condition was in? Which type of spiritual? Fornication, creeds, dogmas, world councils. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing vexed righteous soul from day to day. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment and punished. But chiefly them to walk after the flesh, and the lust of notice uncleanness, that same sign, despise government, the vindicated prophet, presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak of evil of dignitaries, dignity, whereas angels, greater in power and might, would not bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Notice how it is that these people will speak against a vindicated prophet, where even the angels wouldn't even dare to bring an accusation against the devil. These guys rush right in. See? Now, what is the tie post? The tie post is that vindicated word. For Peter said, I'm going to tie you to something. I'm going to tie you to the revealed word of Almighty God, not experiences. Because he said, we had ample experience. We even heard a voice. Well, he might as well have gone further and said, I was so confused I was going to build three tabernacles. You didn't see how infallible I am. But he did underhanded, though, nice little way. I want you to notice something even greater. And he said, that is that word. Now, bringing it down here, you notice what they've done. They've gone away from the word. So, therefore, the tie post is the cornerstone, which is the revealed word of Almighty God. Christ, the tie post, is the word. Remember years ago, talking to a lady in Florida. And she said, you know, Brother Bale, she said, the trouble is that the people ought to just not talk about doctrine and word, but just talk about Jesus. I said, hold it, sister. That's where you got it exactly wrong. I said, anybody can talk about Jesus and love and experience. When it comes to that word, what does that word really say? Brother Ned Iverson talked to Billy Graham one time on the plane. He said, Brother Graham, he said, listen. He said, let's face it. We have seen everything but the word of God restored. And Billy Graham thought of it. He said, yes, he said, that is right. We have seen everything but the word of God restored. Of course, we've got people who hardly teach you, you know, and they tell you how it's been done. But we'll just bypass that one, too. Now, but in spite of it being the tie post to the messenger and the word, it has now become a flying wedge dividing us asunder. We have a tie post if the people will leave it be a tie post. Now, I like Brother Bob Brown's statement. Bob made a statement down to me one time, and I liked it. He said, you know, Lee, he said, we get a lot of criticism and flack, he said, because of Deedica. And he said, there, we know they're wrong. But he said, you know, he said, they're looking at the same prophet, the same message we're looking at. And he said, whether I want to admit or not, he said, I have an affiliation, association, an affinity with them. That's exactly true. You know, this message never was intended to pull us apart. It was intended to pull us together. And Paul kept warning, even as Brother Branham warned us, that we should not go into schisms and split up. And the true bride will have an understanding of thus saith the Lord, so she understands this, and she will stay together. And she'll try to get back together if there's any problem. You see? But, you know, I don't see too much of that. What I do see, I see men running around, either taking over or destroying other man's work. There's no trouble at all for people to leave America here and go to Europe, go to South America, go someplace else, and then divide the people and say, hallelujah, they're hearing the word. That's all, they're hearing the word. But listen, I'm going to tell you something flat. You're hearing me, but you might not be hearing the word. And I will admit it over a pulpit because of the fear of God, but there's a lot of preachers won't. They'll tell you flat what they say is the word of God, and you listen around. Let me tell you something. You have listened to Lee Bailey else, you might be 100 times better not listening to Lee Bailey. Oh, that Lee Bailey, he must be completely screwy. He must be a complete nut. There's no assurance. Oh, yeah? When the prophet said, over my head stands a pillar of fire, called a spirit of testimony, the spirit of prophecy, testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you think I'm downgrading myself 1 minute, trying to make you listen and make it away? I'm just trying to let you know something here, my brother, my sister. You can be as positive as you want to be. That you are right in the pocket of Jesus Christ and not be. And you can hear a preacher tell you. As long as you listen to him, it's okay. Let me tell you flat, I can't buy that. I cannot buy these union meetings that are going on. They've run their course. I'm out of them. No more. Because they only come together one reason. Our little clique, our little group. Unless you got a spirit and I got a spirit this morning, then go to anybody in this message and greet as a brother. See, there's something wrong with us. And there's plenty wrong with a lot of folk that I know. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with me because there is. This message, brother, sister, was to bring a bride together. Ready?
Amen.
It's a cornerstone which is a tie post. But it's become a flying wedge amongst us. Let's go back to Matthew 23:34-39 to see it. And I want to get your spirits lined up and my spirit lined up, because the prophet said, if you've got a wrong spirit, that's worse than having a wrong doctrine. He said, you can have the wrong guard, the right spirit, you're way better off. Now, notice. I won't have to read it all. 34-39. He said here, I sent you prophets, wise men, scribes. And over in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent you, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her chickens under wings, and you would not. Now he said to Israel, I sent you prophets. I sent you wise men. I sent you scribes. A prophet brings the word. A wise man is able to teach on the word. Expound it. The scribe can only repeat verbatim. Now he said, I sent you all three. In order that you would be gathered. That's what he said, I would gather you. Then the question comes up, then how does God gather? The question is answered. God gathers by the prophet. Now, is this the truth? Yes, it is the truth. You know, Brother Branham made statements that it took years of us to find out, but they're how true they were. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. He said the gathering together was the end time message, which was the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which was Malachi 4:5-6, Acts 3:19, middle of 19 and on to 23. Matthew 17:11 and so on. And Luke 17:26, Luke 17:30, and Revelation 10:7. The whole bit is bringing in there. Now, Brother Branham said, this message brings us together. Now let me ask you a question. Can this message be the real message, the real word, and the real spirit, and divide us? The answer is no. Either this message is preached wrong in the sense that it's off somewhere, it's not what the prophet taught, or it's the wrong spirit. Now, you've got to get the two together. But you've got too many people that are malcontent to allow that. They will not say, look, this is what I see, what I'm looking at. No. He's got, here's what the prophet said. I can bring in a fella here that said what the prophet said, and he'll do his best to prove that the rapture's over, the resurrection doesn't take place, you're in the millennium. And now you've got to go to Israel. You're somewhere. God knows where you're at. You've got to go to Israel or something next. That's the thing you've got to do next. Very sincere. He'll take the Nugget book. He'll take Mr. Moore's quote book. He'll take Brother Branham's tape. And he'll take quote by quote. And anybody in his right mind knows positively the resurrection has not taken place. The rapture has not taken place. We know that. The Antichrist is not here on the scene, per se, as the individual running things. These things have not taken place. What is it? But they're going to tell you, you got to listen. Why? I want to know why. Doesn't the Bible answer to make merchandise of men's souls or to get their money? Is that what people want? What's going to happen on Judgment Day when these men have to stand up having taken all these souls in tow from even over the pastor's head? You see, that's why I keep telling you, get on his back, not mine. I don't go through any judgment for you. I'll be judged preaching this word enough around the country where I go, whether it lines up with the prophet's message identical, without having you on my back. Yet if I want to, I can make some kind of a show. See, is and I'm not just bringing on a point here. Is this what thus saith the Lord is all about? No. What thus saith the Lord is all about is that we, you and I and all of us see this vindicated message as a tie post bringing us together and keeping us, not fragmenting it. But it tears me to pieces seeing men run around. They think nothing of it to tear a pastor's congregation down the middle where he's put no labor on himself, where he has no expenditure, just come in, says. For him. Well, let me tell you that. Here I am. Yeah. And here I ain't. Hope you're catching what I'm trying to tell you. You stick humble with the pastor. Not run here, run there, do this, do that. Stick humbly with the pastor. And know one thing, when anything comes in that rides ahead that says, you better believe this or else, you just walk right away and sit outside the camp till you look where it's going. See? Because we, this message was to bring a bride together, not fragment. Now the prophet warned. He said, oh, he said, you got a sweet spirit now, but it won't stay with you always. He said, the day's coming, he said, when I'll be gone. He said, you watch. And Paul said the same thing. And here it's fulfilled. When are we going to smarten up as men and women of Jesus Christ to know what the Bible says and get into it? That's what thus saith the Lord is all about, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, isn't it?
Amen.
That's exactly what went back in Moses' day, went back in Paul's day, it's now it's in our day. Where is fragmenting? It's outside the Word. It's cursed in the Bible. See, it doesn't mean you don't take a stand for what you believe. But in that stand is not to overrule and override anybody else. That's why Brother Branham said, categorically, that pastor is the supreme authority with the realm that God places. See, there's your tie post, brother, sister. There's your brotherly kindness. I only wish we had a whole lot of more. Well, thus saith the Lord, it's the final court of appeal of perfection. Why do people go to court? Why do they appeal? They want to find out what is right. What is right? Man comes along. Well, he said, this is the evidence. He said, nah, this is the evidence. Nah, this is the evidence. He's got 14, 15, 30, 40, 100 scriptures. Between the two, and they got 200 scriptures. And the three people are fighting each other with 66 scriptures. What? That's not the way it is. There's got to be a final court of appeal. Now, let's see the final court of appeal. It's 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Beginning of 8 verse. Love never fails. In other words, you can always use it. It's safe. Never cause you any trouble. It'll get a certain work done. Prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues will fail. In fact, they'll even cease. Knowledge is going to vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But watch. When that which is privileged come, then that which in part is done away. Now watch. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When the full stature of Christ comes to the bride, it's going to put away childish things, so therefore the speaking and the understanding is mature. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. In other words, Christ must come into full view. The mysteries of God must be revealed. Christ must be thoroughly manifested. The word fully exegeted. Here it is. And it says when that comes, that's going to be perfection. Right? All right. Let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Too bad we couldn't read that before. It took a prophet to open her eyes. The time wasn't right. Everybody had one had love. One had this. Well, oh, yeah. One fellow didn't have love. Who was it? It was, I think, remember, it was Brother Lawrence's little book. The little, the famous little Catholic fellow that wasn't much of a Catholic. Any more Catholic than I was, I guess. All right. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's that ministry here. Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul preached that full measure. But the people couldn't come to it. And the church has been struggling darkly, trying to rip those seals off, trying to see what's under it, trying to get the truth, but it couldn't until the last day. And the last day, what happened? As in 1 Corinthians 13, that henceforth be no more children, talking or understanding, tossed to and fro, carried every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men,
cunning trappers, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's happening right in this hour, in this bride. And don't say it's not, because I can bring the... Well, just don't challenge me. That's all. Just don't challenge me. As long as I got enough money in the bank to write checks, I'll fly them in, whatever Donnybrook. Oh, my. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. I've talked to these men. Sit back, watching. Waiting for the hour to come upon the stage. Prima donnas under what? I wonder what music you're listening to. Who is orchestrating the score? Who's choreographing with us there? Who's creating their choreography, the necessary that they come dancing in like? I wonder who's doing it. You say men don't do this? I'm going to tell you something. If you want, you can go in that little room and pray. And fast. Go ahead. I talked to a fellow in California many years ago. He went into his room to pray and fast. And he came out getting what I wish, I thank God now he didn't get, but I wanted years ago myself. Which is what? Oil, not the blood. I wasn't fussed about the blood, but the oil sounded good. He came with oil on his hand. From that time on, a very unsweet person became a sweet, meek, mild person. Blood and oils of the devil. The character then was not of God. Then you tell me men can't go in to their rooms and pray and get answers? They can't. They'll come out and even tell you things that are really real. Say, oh, I believe that fellow. Do you? Well, you can if you want. But there's one court of appeal, my brother, sister. Not what you and I think or somebody else thinks. It's what the prophet brought forth as vindicated. And it says right here, they'll lie in wait. But it says, now you watch your talking now. Children speaking, understanding. Speaking the truth. The mature word of God. Growing up into all things which is the head. Now it tells you right here, without 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 8, I'm about 13 verses so. You cannot come into the head. It's impossible. Where's your court of appeal? Where's your perfection? I'm going to bring something to your attention here. I don't pit one sermon against another sermon, because that would be diabolical. But I've noticed something. Brother Branham preached the stature of perfect man in 62, right? In 63 preached the seal. I want you to show me one place he ever brought out love as the capstone. I was found with the word. Now you find it. If you can't, I'd be glad to know about it. I can't find it. He said, I'm not going to really look for it, but I haven't run across it. I've noticed that he did what he said himself in 1 Corinthians 13. When the question came, Brother Branham, what is that perfection of 1 Corinthians 13? And he said, what is perfect but God? Or who is perfect God? And what is God but his word? And by God's grace we believe we have the perfect interpretation of the word for this time. Then you see, what is your final court of appeal? What is perfection? We have come into it. Nobody adding, nobody taking. And don't you understand that that is exactly what it says over here in the book of Revelation, which we'll go to later on? Now, what is how Brother Branham said, which I mentioned to you, he said, perfection has come. Now, going back again to 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to look at something here. He said, use love. Pardon me. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. These are the three abiding qualities within a bride that we must exercise until, and yes, bring us to the very headstone, which is perfection. See, faith is a revelation. Hope is expectation. And love will be our realization. I think nothing could be clearer. Now, what else is thus of the Lord? It is as Brother Branham said in the rapture tape. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as he ever did. God came down. God stood there. We saw him. We partook of him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ends it all, bringing us to the place I mentioned under the court of final appeal, the perfection, is as he said in Amos 3:7-8, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The lion that's Revelation 10, has roared by the prophet, who will not fear? Deuteronomy 18:21. You got to fear him. The Lord God, not the prophet, has spoken, as it says in 2 Peter 1:21, men moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophet spoke. Who can but prophesy? See, that God's voice comes by the prophet. Now, as the prophet said in doing God a service in 65, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, God, but it comes by a prophet. In other words, God has always been his own prophet. Now notice, it says in Acts the 3rd chapter, that all the prophets since the world began. Now just a minute, when did that world begin? Billions of years before man ever got it. See? Then who's the first prophet? God. Always was, always will be. What are these men we call prophets? They're the shells that make up a divinity, an incarnation amongst us. Not a complete now, see? All together they would. But now at the end time, he comes revealing all the mystery. So Brother Branham could say, this mystery was hidden from before the foundation of the world. In other words, taking us way, way back to the original prophet who brought forth the word then. That same word we see coming on down now, see? Now, bringing us to this perfection. Now let's take a look at it. I said I was going to take a look at it before, and I'll do it. Revelation 22, the 10th verse. Seal not the things of the prophecy of the book for the time's at hand. What time's at hand? To run out. Daniel 7 seal. The sealing up. The unsealing. The millennium. New Jerusalem. Watch. He that's unjust is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. See what you're coming to? You're coming to exactly that place of perfection. How's it going to be? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not going to get it by struggling, although struggling won't hurt. The butterfly's got to struggle to get out of the cocoon or he's going to be ruined for life. You try to take a pair of scissors, you'll ruin the butterfly or the beautiful moth. Yes, the moth comes out of a cocoon and the butterfly comes out of chrysalis, no matter which one it comes out of anyway. You interfere with this struggle, it'll deform it. Now, there's a struggle, certainly. But I'm going to tell you, this struggle that I'm talking about is for character and bringing ourselves under. But there's no struggle that's going to bring you to this here. Because this depends on the opening of that book. And at that time, the bride will come to perfection. What is that perfection? It's the perfection of righteousness by faith, which is a revelation. For the beginning of righteousness, true righteousness, is a revelation, quote the prophet. And that's on more than one take, not just one, but on more than one take. See? Now we're back at the end time, where the revelation comes complete. And we believe it. And as Brother Brandon said, if a man believes it, he'll do something about it. It'll be a living, breathing word, because of living, breathing people. So, what is thus of the Lord? It's reality, true reality. It's water to the thirsty. It's food to the hungry. Proof to the agnostic. Sight to the blind. Clothes to the naked. It's all in all come down to bring to completion the purpose and plan of God. First of all, to a Gentile bride, finishing off Israel, bringing us to the millennium. It's the seventh seal, the complete unsealing of all that's been sealed up and is now let loose, eternity bound. It is the full assurance of faith of Romans 4:15-21, where Abraham started with faith, believing God, but at the end, 25 years, 20 years later, about, like our 2,000 years, Abraham came to the full assurance of faith. What started back in Paul as a seed? Thank God it was a true seed that degenerated and got grafted into until it became a mustard that encompassed the earth. Now, that tree being cut down, God has raised up his own bride tree. See? Brought her all the way back by the true word, full assurance of faith. Not doubting anymore. See? Not guessing, but knowing. See? It's the Holy Spirit unloosed and come back to Joshua, the latest millennium. It is God come down to prove himself. getting us ready for the new Jerusalem. It is a full interpretation of mystery. It's a complete conclusion. Now, see, I could go on and all what it is. But I trust that you begin to see what thus saith the Lord is, brother, sister. It's finality. You ain't going nowhere. All this running around, all this chaos in the world, it's unnecessary, it's illegitimate. We've got a vindicated word. You've got a vindicated message. You've got the tapes. You've got the books. You've got the Holy Ghost. In other words, that millennial rest that we're looking forward to has been entered into by the rest of the Holy Ghost, because the full assurance of faith is our rest. And it's not what you and I know or think we know. It's believing what the prophet revealed out of here. It is that verbal message, he that hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the Laodicean church age. Roughly 900 tapes. You don't need them all. Sure you'll do, you. That's your capacity. That's all you need. But what you and I need this morning is to come full circle right back to thus saith the Lord in his simplicity, where we stood when the prophet was here. Not our ears poked out to hear 1,500 different people with 1,500 different ideas. To run here, run there, follow this, follow that. Were we split in those days? No, we weren't split. We had no fragmentation amongst us. We weren't in a bunch of little schisms here and there. Where were we? We all were one on how? On what? A man. Why? Because he was vindicated having brought the word. Now listen, let me tell you something. Was God's interest in that one man? No. God's interest was in the word through the one man to the many. Now it's back to the many. They faithfully stay with the message. Faithfully stay with what the prophet brought. It's vindicated. You don't need another Mount Carmel. What do I need any showdowns for? Look, I'm either in or I'm not in. I'm bride or I'm not bride. What is all this business? You say some showdown is going to make me look bad and you look good? What kind of spirit's got to hold us anyway?
Amen.
Brother Bannock said, look, every spirit will be made manifest by this message. And it'll be judged before it's over. Then let's leave it there. Let's get down to resting. See? Oh, there's no need for confusion, my brother and my sister, if we just see thus saith the Lord. There's no need for confusion. Nobody's going to come and plumb all the depths. I wonder if eternity itself will plumb all the depths of God. I wonder. I doubt if it will. If he's omniscient, as Brother Brad said, could tell the number of fleas that be in this world, and every time a gnat or a flea bat its eye, last your eyeball, or a bat in your eyes, how could you ever plumb God? How could you do that? But you see, you're to come to a place of zero faith, of understanding. He said, be men children marvelous. Yes. But our children have the atmosphere of full-grown, mangy, rabid lions. And our understanding is about as good as a dove. We have become as harmless as serpents and as wise as doves, when it should be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove, right? But thus saith the Lord, my brother, sister, to you and me, as far as I can see, to take it all away and just stand with the revealed word of God. It's been proven. It's been vindicated. And we stand here as a part of it. When Brother Branham preached that great message on identification, he said, I was there, he said, when Noah got in the ark. I was there when Moses was there at the Ten Commandments. He said, just as I was American over there in Iwo Jima. He said, I was there. I was there with Paul. I was there with Christ. So identified in this message, but that's where we stand. May the Lord bless you to keep you ever with the understanding of thus saith the Lord. It's not a simple statement. It is God himself come forth in magnificent proof, revealing himself, showing himself, and bringing us into that solid rock of revelation in Christ Jesus. For there's no, if we're nothing more than just friends of the bridegroom, and the bride, and that's fine. We just thank you, O God. We can look back and say, this I know, that what you brought forth by your prophet, this was those beautiful vegetables, all beautiful, and carrots, and rutabagas, and all the good things, the potatoes, and no doubt apples and things thrown in. And the prophet's vision was all there, the food of the hour, to bring us right on to our journey, where we're going all the way up. Heavenly food, heavenly blessing, Lord, in this hour. And we thank you, Lord God, by grace, we who know we're unworthy, yet because we've been here to see it, by a little bit of
of something in our hearts, O Lord God, we just look out and say, Lord, Heavenly Father, nothing in our hands I bring, no, nothing like that, but just simply because we heard a voice to say, come look, come listen, this is what it is. Father, we have drawn nigh in our condition, empty, emptying of ourselves, hopefully nothing left of ourselves, O God, what there is, please help us here today. Empty, Lord, coming to you for your fullness. Coming to you, Lord, for your food, for your bless. That's all we want, Heavenly Father. And we just leave it in your hands, Lord. Keep us ever true, at least, this far, O God, that we know, if we can't go any further, Lord, that there was a vindicated prophet with a vindicated message, and just stand there, Lord, until by your Spirit, you reveal to us that great word leading us ever on now by your Spirit till we all come to you. Father, bless the fivefold ministry. I trust, Lord, that no one feels that I've got an axe to grind against them, trying to put this one other that up. Not that at all. But knowing, Lord, in the hour in which we live, where else does leadership come from but in that very area, men leading men astray, leading them. Lord, O God, I pray that for your little flock everywhere, keep them simple, Lord. Keep them very humble. Keep them, Lord, very near to you, Lord, that there's no straying away. Oh, God, may the curiosity that can be aroused amongst the people, may it not be amongst us, Lord. May we be dead to curiosity and those things that we don't need, just simply don't need them. But, Lord, keep us ever mindful of your word and hungry for it. God, create a new hunger in my heart. Create, Lord, a new desire, Heavenly Father, in every heart. Now bless us as we go, and may we mature up into Jesus Christ all the way, and not one of us fail to go on in. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Lord, bless you. Let's sing a little song, take the name of Jesus with you.